Don't you love when God shows up and just shows out? Oh, man. He's a good, good Father, isn't he? That's what reminds you. You know, we focused on prayer a lot at the beginning of this year, and we're not letting go of that. We want to bring it to your attention as often as we can. I know that we got some big needs in our congregation. And so I pray that you just take some of these needs. If you know some of these needs, you just take them before the Lord this week. Just continue to bombard heaven with these needs. Continue to remind them, hey, don't forget, Lord, don't forget, Lord, don't forget. But don't give up. Don't give up. In your prayer life, I think one thing we've learned, hopefully, during this study is not to stop. Well, it hasn't happened. It's been a week I've been praying. Don't stop. It's been a year I've been praying for this. Don't stop. It's been 5 years. Don't stop praying. Continually petition heaven about this need, about this request. Maybe one of these days, the Father will say, okay, now it's time. Now it's time. You know, there's something to that phrase, a squeaky wheel gets the grease sometimes. Just keep reminding the Father about this need. Keep reminding the Father of His promises. Keep reminding the Father. I'm going to jump right into it this morning. We're in Ephesians chapter 4. It's a powerful section, and it's a whole the idea of this first section in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul kind of hits us hard. It's really a section on telling us to grow up. Don't you love that? I'm like, I'm talking to first servicers. You know, I'm telling you, grow up this morning. Not my words, but Paul. So I'm just telling you what Paul's saying this morning. We're going to start right at the bat. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Let's read that one more time. Therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So the Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, is what you would call, what normally people call, is one of the prison epistles. It's one of the prison, and the reason why they call it the prison epistle, now wait for it, I know it's a big revelation here, but Paul was in prison while he's writing this. And so that's why they call it the prison epistles. But this is one of the prison epistles. And he starts off, again, I say, anytime you see that therefore, That should get your attention. That should make you think, okay, what's being said here? Therefore, this is a pivotal moment in the book. And so what he's doing in his chapter 4, he's really transitioned. It's a transition statement. And he's going from the first three chapters of the book, what it means to know Jesus, to the second three chapters of the book on how we actually live it out. So if you read Ephesians, next time you think about chapters 1 through 3, Paul's really telling us how we know Christ. And then he transitions, I therefore, he's saying, I'm transitioning now to the next three. This is how you live it out. And he starts by, grow up, is basically what he's saying. Grow up. And so this is how we're going to live it out. Verse 2, it says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul said we should walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Now I want you to think about who should walk in the manner of the calling. He says, to which you have been called. So right off the bat, he's not letting anybody off the hook. He doesn't say to the pastors have been called, to the kids' pastors have been called, to youth pastors. If you've been called to ministry, now it's your job to walk according to your calling. It doesn't say that. It simply says, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. You. You have been called. So now we have a job. We got to walk according to the calling. And Paul's saying, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. We should walk in a way worthy, in a way that's worthy of response to the gospel. We should walk in this way. And the way we do that is by unity. And think about it, there's no better subject for our culture, for our society, for today's world than that word unity, is there? Because what's one thing we do not see in our culture today? Unity. There's so much division. And so Paul's saying, this is how we represent the gospel, is if we walk in this way, and that's walking in unity. I mean, nothing declares to each other, to an unbelieving world, the beauty of the gospel, than our ability to keep unity in the body. I mean, Paul is simply stating again what he emphasized in chapter 3, that we were united in the body, we're beautiful, we reflect the unity of God to a world that's divided in so many things. Think about it. When you reflect unity, when we show unity in the body, that makes the world go, what? What are you guys doing? How are you doing this? It raises questions, doesn't it? Like, what makes you... They just don't get it because it's not natural. And so that's why how we represent the gospel is when we walk in unity within the body. And unity in the gospel shapes who we are and how we live. Verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. And that's why it says in verse 8, when he ascends on high, he led the captives in his train and gave gifts to men. So that's a little bit of a confusing verse. So why does he ascend? And so look at verse 9 and 10 here. It says, in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descends is the one who also ascends far above the heavens that he might fill all things. Anybody else get lost there? There's a lot of ascending and descending in that verse. And there's a lot to unpack, but we're in a time constraint this morning, so I'm going to give you a Cliff Notes version. How many loves Cliff Notes? Love Cliff Notes. Get you through school right there, Cliff Notes. But I'm going to give you Cliff Notes. So Paul quotes Psalm 68, and it relates to the victory of Jesus. And instead of a direct quote of 68 verse 16, he's basically summarizing it in his own words. So you see in Psalm 68, it's a victory hymn. And what you see historically, it was typical that after a king won a military victory, he'd bring back the spoils of war on the winning end. So he'd bring back all the loot, like just showing off, this is what we've done. It's celebrating a king and what he possessed. So you seeing it yet? You get where I'm going here? Let me remind you of something this morning. When King Jesus came, right? He went to the cross, died for the penalty of sin, went to the grave, conquered death, and now reigns victorious. And he gives us the spoils of the victory. Gifts as reminders and tools for the missions ahead. This is what Paul's painting. This is the picture of Paul's painting for you and I. These are the gifts he's given us. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So again, God has called and equipped people for the sake of the church. He's given gifts of leadership for the church, for the sake of the church. I mean, you catch that? He said the leaders in our church, our heartbeat and our passion, our calling is use our gifts that God has given us to serve you, to love you, to equip you. Why? So you can use your gifts for the sake of God's kingdom. And within the whole body and the whole world, this is what our calling is. Our calling is love you, to raise you up, to use your gifts. Grow up, to use your gifts, to grow up, quit. Just go is what our calling is. It's continue. I won't hang up there because I could get there for a while. But verse 13 through 16 here, look at it. It says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer, look at this, I love this one. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other part grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing in full love. I mean, that just screams unity, doesn't it? We all got a part to play. We're all part, when we're all doing our part, we all grow. And that's the objective, isn't it? To grow. We want to continue to grow, because when you're not growing, what are you doing? You're going backwards. And so we want to grow. And so I want to see four things that we need to seek to grow up in Christ. And so we got to grow up. So here's four things we need to seek. The first thing is this: the gospel creates a changed people. Think about it. It sounds really simple, but think about it. The gospel creates a changed people. This is how you know. This is how you see the fruit, the change. You know when the gospel's taken hold of somebody, you see the change in their life. I mean, just think of the context of this passage. Remember who is writing this? Paul, right? Paul's writing this. But as you know, it always hasn't been Paul, has it? He was also known as Saul, right? And so when I say, think about now, when I say the gospel created a changed people, Saul, remember Saul? He was a first century persecutor. I mean, in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, he says that he was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's people. That's Saul. That Saul is the one who the gospel got a hold of him, and you see a changed life, don't you? Now, how does a man go from that, from stop destroying God's people as his main motivation, to writing the church to press on in Christ, walk in the gospel, live in unity? I mean, he was trying to divide the church. He wanted to destroy it. How does somebody make that? The gospel changed everything. I mean, look at it this way. So we know that these represents two people, right? So we'll say this one represents Christ. We'll go this way. We'll say this one represents Christ, okay? So we know Christ, right? Son of God, creator of all things. We learned that in Genesis chapter 1. He references the Son of God, Jesus, creating things. Part of the Alpha and Omega, the one who came to live as a man on earth, died a horrible death, went, conquered grave, death, rose again, sits on the throne. He's the one who offers his righteousness to us. I mean, we could go on and on about this one, right? And then let's say this represents you and I. This one does. We could probably go on and on about this one, couldn't we? This represents us humans who are prone to make terrible choices, who usually go against everything the gospel says, who likes to think for ourselves, who likes to build our own kingdom, who we tell lies, you know, we steal, we fudge on our taxes. We look at things we're not supposed to look. I mean, I could go on and on about us, can't I? And so what the deal is, and so now there's us and there's Christ, and there's this divide between us, right? And what we do, the kind of the system that we fall into a lot of times, even though we know better, is, well, I came to church today. And so, you know, I'm being good. I gave in tithes today, so yeah, I'm getting really good. But then we're like, oh, yeah, I really lost my temper yesterday. That was not good. Oh, yeah, yeah, I really let that person at Walmart have it. Man, that was not love of Christ right there. Oh, yeah, I told that one joke, and God did not smile to that joke. So I just, and so we play this game, don't we? Oh, I'm coming to worship night. And so we play this game is back and forth, back and forth. And when I say the gospel changed everything, the gospel did change everything. And so what happens when we allow the gospel to change our lives, we're not playing this game no more of basically keeping score. I did good or I did bad. I did good, good, and I did bad, bad, bad. You know, and so what the gospel does is the gospel come and it says that he took our place. It says that he clothed us in his righteousness. So now, when God looks at me, guess who he sees? He sees Christ. So now, when a Saul is now Paul, when God looks at Paul, he sees Christ. That's how a Saul can go to Paul and not go back, because he knows that his Redeemer changed everything. He knows that the gospel created a change in him. He knows that God, his Son, called him in his righteousness. And that created this unity. So now God sees Christ. The gospel creates a changed people. The gospel is about redeeming a people who cannot redeem themselves. This is how we stand united. Because this is the place we all live at now. Hopefully you're not playing that game. I mean, that's a tiring game. Trying to keep score. Well, I did this. I did that. I did this and this. That's really good points right there. And that's really good. And then, oh, yeah. That'll wear you out. And that shows a life that's not been changed by the gospel. Recognize where you're at. Instead, we need to be changed by the gospel. We need to understand this. We need to understand that this is the place we live now. We need to understand that humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing one another in love, this is where we're at. Those are not characteristics of the old person, but the new person. They're saying these are characteristics we exude now, that we exude humbleness, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. Unlike before when we didn't have these qualities, now we do. The gospel, again, it changed who we are. The gospel, secondly, the gospel brings unity. Unity by declares to the world that we, a people redeemed and united in Christ, are here. That we are one. We are one body. That we're not going anywhere because of what Jesus has done in us. The world can live lives changed. Think about it. Based on their stance on policies, on politics, the latest fads. That changes like the waves of the ocean. Like Paul is saying, don't be changed by the... But in the gospel, we're united. In the gospel, we ain't moving. Why? Because Jesus is better. The body of Christ is worth it. And so in the gospel, we find unity. Are you hearing me this morning? We find unity. United with one another. That's why we're more patient with one another. That's why we're more understanding with one another. Why? Because the gospel created this in us. Third thing, the gospel equips us for the journey. And you remember that this passage specifically addresses those who have been gifted for leadership in the church to equip you to use your gifts for the sake of the kingdom. Well, the leaders are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You need to know you have a gift. You have a gift and you have a task. He equipped you with giftings. You've been given a gift for the sake of the body. You giving gift to help me grow. You've been given a gift to help your neighbor grow. All of us have been given a gift. Verse 7, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And look at verse 12. Why? For the building up the body of Christ. It's not just for a select few. It's not just for a pastoral team. It's not just that you got a call. Every one of you have a call of God in your life. It doesn't matter if you've been called to ministry or not. Every one of you have a call of God in your life. It's for every one of us. This changed people. The church has a gift that God has given us, His grace, for the sake of one another. This means I need your gift. I need you to use your gift. I need you to speak that gift over me. I need you to use that gift towards me. My kids need your gift. Help build them up. Help raise them up. They need you to encourage them. They need you to spur them on. They need you to start serving and using your gift to build this body up in unity and righteousness. That's why Paul's telling us to grow up this morning. Some of you got some of the most amazing gifts ever, and you don't use them. Well, I'm retired, Pastor. Stop. Your gift's not retired. God's blessed you guys with some amazing gifts. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, he says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I mean, there's three different places in the New Testament. Paul lists out examples of what spiritual gifts are in Romans and 1 Corinthians, Ephesians. And they include things like this. They include like hospitality, mercy, serving, generosity, exhorters, evangelism, leadership, vision, faith, prayer. Come on. That's some of you guys. Use your gifts. I mean, Judy has one of the most amazing gifts I've ever seen, the gifts of hospitality. She hosts our Connects breakfasts. They're always amazing. She knows how to love people. She knows how to make things nice. She knows how to decorate. All things I don't know how to do. But she uses her gifts for the body of Christ. I just tell you, we need you to use your gift.
Amen.
We need hospitality. We need mercy. We need serving. We need generosity. We need exhortation. We need evangelism. We need leadership. We need vision. We need faith. We need prayer. Some of you guys are some of the most encouraging people I've ever met in my life. It's amazing. I'll step down off this platform, and I'm in my heart, I'm thinking, that was the stupidest sermon I've ever preached in my life. And you guys come up and, oh, that was awesome, Pastor. I'm like, oh, man, thank you. But that means I need that in my life. Some of you guys are amazing encouragers. Encourage more. Some of you guys are prayers. Pray more. Why? Because I need your gift. The person sitting next to you needs your gift. That's why Paul's telling us to grow up. So how can you tell what yours is? What's your gift? I think there's an easy way we can know. And it's more complicated, but here's the easy version. I think you could say a spiritual gift is usually overlapped of what in God's kingdom we're passionate about, what we're good at, and what maybe others affirm us in. Like, say, ability refers to what you're naturally good at. Because a lot of times, not all the times, but a lot of times, a spiritual gift includes what you're naturally gifted at. Talk about Olin, he's naturally gifted at the guitar, at the music, and you can see that play out in his life. He loves to serve in that capacity. Lance, same way, he's an amazing musician. Can sing and do things with his fingers on the guitar that I can't keep up with. But he naturally, and so because of that natural ability, he's decided, you know what, this is a gift God's given me. I'm going to use that gift. That's what we're talking to, your ability. And so, example, Paul. Paul was a great thinker and writer before he became a Christian, right? I mean, he'd been selected to apprenticeship under the most highly respected Jewish leader there was, so there had to be something there. And there's exceptions, of course. I mean, sometimes God gives us spiritual gifts that have little to do with our natural abilities just to show off until it's not human power. But in our passion refers to what you love, what drives you, what wakes you up at night, what gets your soul excited about the kingdom of God. Your affirmation refers to what other people see and call out in you. Maybe they affirm these gifts in you. Where all three of these things converge is typically a place of your spiritual gift. All of us should know what we are and who we should be able to be a key part of our lives. You have a gift. Think about this. When God created you, he looked at you, he thought about you. And he looked at all the gifts. He said, all right, this person, I got a good one for this person. And then God equipped you with this gift to live out this calling of the gospel. You need it, I need it, we need it for the building of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Next, the gospel calls you to grow up. Gospel calls you to grow up. Then we no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there. And verse 13 says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about with every wind of doctrine by human cunning and craftiness in deceitful schemes. Grow up. So rather, speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way, into him who is ahead, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by everything, every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's the objective. Why is this so important? So you can help us grow. So you can help us grow and build up the body of Christ as we grow. It builds the body of Christ. People see unity, say they're doing something there. I want to see what's going on there. And we build up the body of Christ. Listen closely to what I'm saying there. If you want to look like Christ, you have to grow up and stop conforming to the world around you and start walking towards Jesus. Paul's saying here in Ephesians 4, it's common for people of God throughout the Scripture to see the body of Christ, the people of God, grow into maturity. I mean, Joshua 22:5 says, love the Lord, your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Grow, was what Joshua was saying. Grow. Proverbs 9:6 says, leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Grow. It doesn't matter where you are on this journey. Grow. I mean, you could be this shallow in the pool, enjoying your milk and cookies. But guess what? You're not going to grow if all you eat is milk and cookies, are you? I mean, some of you grow the opposite way you want to grow, but you're not going to grow. Walking with Jesus, that's the way we grow. And so you go to the deep end. Go to the deep end, or you'll be like Pastor Mark and get one of those tomahawk steaks. You know, that's the deep end. And you're chewing on something substantial. You've been walking with God for a while. You're growing. So the goal is keep growing. Whether you're a new Christian or you're a seasoned Christian, you still got to grow. I mean, if you're anything like me, I might be a little competitive. And I like a scoreboard. Because I need to know when I'm winning, right? I need to be able to see when I'm winning or when I'm growing. I'm just hardwired that way. And so here's a few areas I think Scripture speaks to our maturity as believers. How do we know we're growing as a believer? Okay, let me ask you, what is your thought life like? Romans 12:1 says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind. What's your thought like? Life like? What is your behavior and your attitude like? How are you spending your time? You know, what is the effect of the company you keep in your life? Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise, become wise. I love the last part of this. But a companion of fools suffers harm. Who are you hanging out? What kind of company are you keeping? What do your ambitions reveal about you? This is how you know if you're growing. When's the last time you opened the Word of God? This is how you know when you're growing. You know, Psalms 1, probably one of my, I know I got a lot. I need to stop saying this. One of my favorite passages. I pray this one a lot. It says, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the ways of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in seasons whose leaves do not wither. And that's what we need, isn't it? We need a generation of trees, not a generation of weeds. We need trees that are growing. And the only way that's going to grow deep like that is daily. The gospel changes people who change the world. You see it? The gospel changes people who change the world. You see it setting up for chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. It's chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 is setting us up. Look at it. We know it. I hope you know it by now. We've been saying it so much. But verse 20 in chapter 3 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Immeasurably more. I mean, don't you think the soul never paints without a picture? And that's the picture being painted for our life right now. I mean, don't you want to see God do some incredible things in your lifetime through a local church? Amen. I mean, don't you want to see God do some incredible things in the hallways of your home? Don't you want to see God do some incredible things immeasurably more in your lifetime through your neighbors and coworkers than you can imagine? Okay. Well, then now we got to grow up, we got to roll our sleeves up, we got to get to work. I mean, for many of us, we don't have a problem knowing the right things about God. It's that we don't have the right practices or right affections toward God. If you want your affections to grow, start practicing discipline and faith. Start getting into scriptures. When's the last time you read the Word of God? When's the last time you got on your knees and prayed? When's the last time you started growing? This is how we grow. I mean, imagine, close your eyes with me, imagine for a minute what we could look like when we begin to grow up. We begin to use our gifts to serve one another and to serve our community. Won't you stand with this morning? Imagine what we look like if we start to grow up, use our gifts. Imagine what that 11,578 unreached people around Brighton would look like if we begin to grow up, we begin to use our gifts. Imagine what we look like. I know I'm talking first servicers, but you are some of the most gifted people I know. You are some of the most loving people I know. You are the most encouraging people I know. You are some of the most praying people I know. So don't stop. Use the gift that God's given you because I need it. Person sitting in front of you, the person sitting behind you, they need your gift. If we want to grow, if we want to impact this 11,578 the 20-minute radius around Brighton, we need everyone operating in their gifts. We need everybody growing together, heading in the same direction. Hallelujah. In unity. That's what the gospel does. It unites us together in a way that no one understands, that the world can't understand, that the outsiders, they don't know what's going on. Don't you think our community could use some of that unity? When they see us working in unity, growing together, using our gifts for each other, for you, for everybody, for our community, don't you think that might catch on to this? They might catch wind of what we're doing. They might want to get involved. They might want to unite. They might want to help grow. They might want to... This is what we're called to do. Grow up. Grow up. You got breath in your lungs. He's not done with you yet. Your gift is needed for Brighton to succeed as a church. Your gift is needed. Dearly Father, Lord, I pray this morning. Lord, I pray. God, I pray that we grow up this morning. Maybe we quit being stingy with our gift and we start sharing our gift. Maybe we actually step into our gift. We start utilizing our gift. We start sharing our gift with everyone around us, Lord, that we experience this unity in the body, and we start growing together, and we start uniting, and we start growing towards your kingdom, Lord God. We help and build your kingdom through our unity, through our gifts, Lord God. Each person in this room, and the sound of my voice, is called by you to exercise their gifts. Lord, I pray that we stop being like children tossed around. Lord, we just stand firm. We plant like that tree by the water. We decide we're going to start growing. Lord, help us. Lord, help us utilize the gifts that you've given us. Help us step into those gifts. Help us grow in your word. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen, amen. The Lord bless you. These altars are open. If you like prayer, we'd love to pray with you this morning.